With us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Jason Cole. He covers the NFL for YahooSports.com. And Jason, big news today, the Kansas City Chiefs acquiring from the San Francisco 49ers Alex Smith. This was something I know that had been rumored, talked about, but at least from the Browns' standpoint, this is one guy that gets eliminated from the list of a potential quarterback addition.
Yeah, I don't think that actually Alex Smith fit what Cleveland's really hoping to do at that position. I think that Rob Chudzinski is probably looking for a bigger guy who fits more of the mold of a kind of pocket passer he would like to have, or even a guy who can move around a little bit. But certainly Alex Smith was a guy that he would think about, and he really fit more with what Kansas City is trying to do. I know that Alex was hoping that he could end up in Arizona because that's closer to home. He's from San Diego. His wife is from the San Francisco Bay Area. They really wanted to stay on the West Coast, but that's not going to work out. They get to Kansas City, still stay on the sort of the western half of the United States. That probably works for them okay. For Kansas City's standpoint, they did not like any of the quarterbacks that were in the top two rounds of this draft. You know, certainly at number one, they weren't going to take a quarterback. And moving around, hoping to see whether Geno Smith or Matt Barkley ended up in the second round, I don't think that even if either one of those guys had been there, that's the kind of direction that they wanted to go. I just don't feel like they liked any of these guys.
The two of us were in Indianapolis for several days last week covering the Combine. I want to start with your biggest takeaway. There seem to be so many storylines. What's the one that intrigued you the most?
Well, I think the number of guys who ran really fast. And I think I haven't added up the numbers yet. I haven't done much comparison. But I would venture to guess that we saw more guys run like sub-4.35, sub-4.3 than perhaps we've ever seen in the history of the Combine. Mm-hmm. I know that nobody ran as fast as Chris Johnson,
right?
But they came within an eyelash of doing it. And, you know, I'm not saying that guys don't get faster over the years, but it makes me wonder a little bit how so many guys ran so fast all at one time. I guess it just makes me a little suspicious. Call that the reporter in me, but that's just who I am sometimes.
You're right about that. I mean, I'm curious, too, as to why we had so many. The first place I want to go is, and this is maybe just because of years of being around this, that we've both been around this a long time, and I think we remember a day when there wasn't the training for this event as there is. This has really become a track meet, and it seems as if the training is full out track intensive, and that from a technique standpoint, and you name it, whatever it takes, weight dropping, and however you're putting on your muscle as a player, everything is being done with the idea that for this event, you're not a football player, you have to be a track star.
Absolutely. That's 100% correct. In fact, in talking to Bill Polian for probably a good half hour between Saturday and Sunday for another article, one of the things that he talked about is after you draft a player, and this is why he's very much against moving the draft too far back into like May, which is what one of the things that the league is talking about, don't move it too far back because it already takes you 2 or 3 weeks to get a guy out of combine shape or track shape, as it were, and into football shape. I mean, there's two different ways. I mean, you don't play football the same way you run for a track meet. Right? It's just not the same thing. And you have to be very cognizant of that. I think that another thing, and I'm not trying to say that people are using performance enhancers, although that would be one of the things I would be, you know, worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that also, you know, because this has become such a made-for-TV event, I sort of start to wonder, are people shaving tons on the other side of it to make it seem like everybody's faster than they are, to make it more exciting than it actually is? And as long as you're putting everybody in order, it ultimately doesn't matter if a guy runs a 4.21 or whether you call it a 4.21 or whether you call it a 4.17. The only thing that really ultimately matters is who's first in line and who's last in line.
Right.
That's all the people who administer this, you know, are concerned with. Because once you get them, that's all you're really worried about.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And it's about whether or not, again, can they play football. And you mentioned Bill Polian, the former NFL executive working for ESPN now, And in something he relayed to me that I thought was interesting, a conversation he had with Andy Reid, who told they were discussing how they could maybe change the 40-yard dash to make it more of a football type of run versus a track run where the guy's in a clear track stance, for instance, a receiver with his, you know, arm back and up and the look that has nothing to do with coming off the line of scrimmage for a pass play. And Andy's suggestion was let them do the one, you know, of their two 40-yard runs, make one of them that track style run, but make the other one from a standing position. And then when it came to like linemen who have to get into a 3-point stance, let them run from a 3-point stance.
Right. Or let them run for, you know, whether it's 3-point stance or sometimes because so many guys now play up in a 2-point stance, make them have to run from 2-point stance.
Right. Right.
Now they're different. You know, depending on what your position is, run from whatever your position is required to you to do. The other thing is for linemen, you know, they're really not running longer than 20 yards or 10 yards. Let's make them do 10-yard runs and 20-yard dashes, okay? Let's not make them do 40-yard dash. You know, watching a 300-pound guy run 40 yards is kind of irrelevant. What you really care about is what is he doing over his 20-yard run, you know, from getting from point A to point B. That's the most critical thing, you know, in my mind. And let's have that. You know, make these functional drills that are that you know relate to what you're actually doing on a football field most of the time. Yeah, once in a while, a guy is gonna a big you know defensive lineman is gonna you know run that far, but it's very infrequently.
Jason Cole from YahooSports.com covers the NFL, joining us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason, I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole Manti Te'o combine story, not the broader story that involves the whole fake girlfriend thing and all of that. That's just beyond comprehension. But I think more relevant is the hard numbers that dealt with his combine, meaning that he dropped weight upwards of what 15 pounds before he arrived there. That theoretically should have made him faster. And lo and behold, he's right near the bottom of linebackers in terms of speed. He didn't look particularly cut physically. Some people commented on that. They just didn't see the definition that you see from some of the other athletes in terms of what their weight training and such might reflect. And overall, just didn't give that athletic performance that I think people thought, who at one point maybe saw him as an upper-tier first-round pick, believe. Now the question is, what did he do in terms of damage to himself with a not-so-impressive combine? Or is he one of those guys that you just have to say the tape maybe doesn't lie, that for the most part you saw you know, an exceptional football player during this past season at Notre Dame and trust that?
Well, I'm really troubled by the way that he performed. I mean, he had more than 30 days to deal with the fallout of this. And, yeah, it was – that press conference was tough for him, and it wasn't easy, but it also wasn't that hard. It wasn't like people were asking a lot of pointed questions and really drilling down into this story. And then to have their physical performance, to run a 4.8 40, to not look good when you're out there, the things that you're talking about, you put that all together, and then for him to come out and say, this was a really stressful weekend. Hey, pal, this is the NFL. Do you think that this is like a low-stress job? Right. I mean, let's get serious about this. Yeah. You're in a high-stress profession that's going to push you to the limits. And you're going to say that, oh, because, I've been in training and had to deal with this whole story, that caused me to have a really bad performance at the combine? I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. I'm just not. Hmm. I come away with more questions about this kid than I do answers, and those questions have very little to do with this whole controversy over the fake dead girlfriend who's actually a guy. And I wonder if the guy's mentally weak, because here's another thing as it pertains to the whole story. Don't think that guy's not going to get really hard in the locker room. It's going to be tough for him in a locker room around a lot of grown-up men who don't take it easy on you or on the field against people who are using anything they can to get under your skin.
Right.
I mean, this again, it's not a low stress profession, and there's no HR department to come in and police how players talk to each other.
Sure.
So to me, I'm really concerned about, you know, what I'm seeing from Manti Te'o. I've got a lot more questions than I had going in, and they have nothing to do with Renaya Tuiasosopo.
Right. No, those are all valid points, Jason, and ones that I think teams have to sort out. The other thing, in looking at this from a Browns perspective, the two biggest need positions that at least I see for this team, pass rusher, something that I think will be the focus of their sixth overall pick, and then trying to get maybe a corner somewhere along the line after that. They don't pick right now until the third round after the first round. As you looked at the combine performances with an eye toward that, should the Browns be feeling good? Because it seemed to me that if there is some depth, and you talk about athleticism and production based on what these guys did in their respective collegiate teams, that the pass rusher seems like you'll find a good one there at number six.
Oh yeah, you got some really good choices, and you may have a choice, you know, like the Deion Jordan kid, or you may have a really fascinating choice. A kid like Ezekiel Ansa,
yeah,
which, you know, I mean, dynamite looking athlete, but very small resume. I mean, very, very small football resume, which I think is going to scare some people off. But against that is this dynamic athletic performance where you just go, wow. I mean, it just, you know, it's a 4.62 and 275 pounds.
Right.
I mean, that's phenomenal stuff, and the little bit of football that he has played, in particular that Senior Bowl, was fantastic stuff.
Yep.
But can you really justify taking a guy with so little football background there? I mean, you know, whilst there's some other mitigating factors, he's really smart. I think he's really a very focused kid. You know, those mitigate, you know, the lack of football background, but it's still there. There's no question about it. And you just wonder if the kid's going to be able to hold up. But there is depth. I think there's even going to be a good pass rusher probably around the 25th or 26th pick. So if you want to do a little bit of moving around, you know, a kid like Okafor is going to be available in the second round. You know, I think there are some possibilities there, some really intriguing players who are going to be available later in this draft.
Were you as left flat by the quarterbacks as pretty much everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, there's what's there to get excited about? Especially when the guy who wants to be considered the best guy in the whole thing doesn't even work.
Right.
I mean, I understand the whole thing about Barkley. You know, you're not better. You know, you're not good enough. And your doctors say you need to hold off and you want to work with the receivers. I mean, come on. Go compete. It's been 3 months since you got hurt. Your shoulder's fine. I mean, I'm not buying that excuse that he's not all the way back to 100%. After a shoulder separation, you know, 3 months ago. He's fine. He could throw if he really wanted to throw. Go show me something, especially in such a mediocre year for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it would seem to me that he could have taken charge right then and there and said he's left it all on the line for the pro day, whatever it is, March 21st. So we'll see how that all works out for him. Jason, tremendous, as always, the information, the knowledge. We appreciate it.
Hey, Tom, be good, Vic. Thanks.
All right. He is Jason Cole from YahooSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily on the Rebel Wireless Hotline. Driven by Liberty Ford, we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.